Come near to God and God will come near to you. Come boldly to the throne of grace, you will receive mercy and find help in time of need. For the Lord is our shield and our support. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. So now we come before our God deliberately. We come as individuals, one and one, to see God's face. Yes, to bow humbly before our God and to offer our thanksgiving and praise. So just look over your life now. How has God blessed you? How has God delivered you? What wonderful thing has God done for you? Would you give praise to God Most High? From your heart, offer your praise and thanksgiving. As you look at your life, where are you weak? Where do you fail? What are you not happy about when you think of yourself? You could talk to God about that now and say, Lord, I've failed here and there. I haven't been my best. I haven't honored you or others. Yes, you and God alone, nobody else. This is a moment of thorough honesty. A time to confess sins and failures. A time to receive mercy. And know that as you speak to God now in humble submission, in confession, in repentance, the Lord hears you. He forgives you. Come near to God. God will come near to you. Now let us pray for others. Offer a prayer for the person seated next to you here today. Offer prayer for our country, our leaders, our troubled world, for peace in places like Syria and Iraq, and for hostilities to go away, and for people to live in harmony and love with each other. And let us pray for some special needs here. Let us pray for Pam Brink and her family in this time of need. Her mom is hospitalized. Let's lift her up. Lord Jesus, be near to her again, we pray. And touch this child of yours. And give her healing and strength. And support Pam and her family in this time of great concern. Also, we pray, Lord, for Sharon, her time of hospitalization. You'll be close to her. You know what's broken in her body, what needs to be fixed. Your good and gracious God, loving us all, draw near to her now. And Lord, we pray for the Van Berger family going through a time of sorrow and death, bereavement. Bring comfort to them. As we also pray for the Priscilla Blakely family, for their comfort and peace at this time. Give us all the wonderful hope of eternal life. And Father, for this teenage daughter, we pray, who is dealing with depression, oh, that you, who are the light of the world, would come and drive the darkness out of this soul. that you will straighten out what is crooked in this life, that you will somehow step in and deliver. Make this young woman whole and well. Lord, we come to you this day. We thank you for the ministry of Boy Scouts in this land and across the world, all scouting programs in general, that you'll bless our young men and our young women and those that would lead them in services such as these. We thank you for those who work here with our youth people, who give themselves to the ministry of scouting, and the youngsters here today, that you will bless them and their families. Now let us sense God's presence here today. Know that you're in God's house, in God's place, in God's zone, and the Lord is here. Listen to God's voice now. Feel God's touch on your life. Receive God's blessings. Lord, we offer these things in the name of the one who taught us in our praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the Deer, number 2025.
As the deer pants for blood, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship.
Please come back with me to our reading from the book of Romans 12, 9 through 21. For nearly a century, Boy Scouts has offered our youth a moral compass for the journey through life. Much has changed in our culture since the days of Lord Baden-Powell. But the basic values of scouting have remained the same. Scouts are still challenged, as those we saw here in the service earlier on. They're still challenged to honor the 40-word scout oath. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the scout law. To help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. That's the oath on my honor. Keeping that oath is not easy. And maybe before some of us here pass away, we will see more efforts, as they're now active in England, to change this, of course, to eliminate honor to God. Today we want to talk a little bit about honor. On my honor. The word is found throughout the scriptures, I think in English versions at least about 150 times. And we have it here in our text. Honor one another above yourselves. And sadly to say, although we have such a command in scripture to honor each other, we find it hard to honor one another. Another honor verse would be the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Not just for kids, but for some baby boomers who still have to take care of mom and dad. Honor your mother and your father. We take vows, but we tend not to honor them. We are called to be people of honor. So we ask ourselves today, what is this thing called honor? How would you define honor? There is no one definition for it, and I've spent a lot of time looking at this word during the last week. For honor is not a tangible thing. It's not like a cell phone. It's not like a book. You can't touch it. Honor is a virtue. And we want the Boy Scouts here today to know that honor is something that lives in your heart. You know it when you see it, all right? And you know when it is missing. It's that kind of thing. So what is it to honor someone or something? Well, it is to regard that thing as, let us say, very valuable, very precious, and you give that person high respect. So we are called to honor God, country, and others. So honor is the thing in us that make us act all the time as though somebody else is watching us, even though no one is watching us. You know what I mean? Honor is the thing in us that makes us do the right thing even when we are all alone. For example, take a young boy. He goes to a party store, a little convenience store. And there's one worker there, and that worker goes to the back room. Well, that's an opportunity to grab three candy bars and put it in your pocket, right? Honor says no. On my honor, honor says no. Or take your dad, or your mom, driving home at 2 o'clock in the morning. Not another car in sight, but the light is red. Honor says you sit there until the light turns green. Ain't it so? Are you with me today? That is honor. There's a little story of this fellow, little boy. His mom sent him to a church, and she gave him 2 quarters. Now, Johnny, 1 quarter is for the collection, and the other quarter is for ice cream on your way home. Now, Johnny did what I would have been doing as a boy. I'm going along, I take one of the quarters and I throw it in the air, happy catching it, and he's playing with a quarter. Bam, it drops, it rolls into the sewer drain. And Johnny looks at the quarter and he says, "Sorry, Lord, that's your quarter." Now, is that an honorable thing to do? No, honor. You either split the other quarter with God or you give God the whole thing. On my honor. So when you say on my honor in the pledge, our young men are saying, honor is something in me. It is my honor. I have the ability to respect and honor and to highly value God, country, and others. I can, I must, I would. On my honor. So how do we define honor? It's hard to do it, but we know it. It lives in us. It is not up to you or me to say what honor is. Honor is itself. It defines itself. It tells us what it is. It is the best of me and the best in me doing the right thing at all times. So we define honor. This is what it is. But we have to move on and we must do honor, right? And I want the youngsters here today to understand this. It's not enough to take the pledge and say, on my honor, I will do thus and so. Honor is something that you must do. Why? Honor is in your heart, but you show honor through your actions, what you do. I act a certain way towards God, country, and others. So how do we do honor? Well, we see people doing it all the time. We saw it this morning. We honor the flag. We honor the pledge. In some cultures, people bow to show honor. In prayer, in church, at home, we kneel or we bow our heads before God. We show honor. One of my blogs recently, I talk about T is for T. Bowen. He's a young man who is a Christian, quite successful on the football field. And he feels that since God would allow him to do well before a crowded stadium, he will kneel on the field and give God thanks before that crowd. He honors God, he tibos. We do honor in our daily lives. And so the reading, let us look at a couple verses here, tell us how to honor. For example, take verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. You see that? Honor one another above yourselves. So when we honor other people, we are considerate of others. We don't take advantage of others. Verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. People of honor are not lazy. They're busy doing things. They are ambitious. Let's try verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. People of honor, honor God through faithful prayer. They go through the hard times with courage and strength. Verse 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. People of honor are givers, not takers. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. People of honor do not try to get even in life. They're not into payback. We could drop down to verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. People of honor don't think they're better than other people. We are saying that honor is something that we do. Honor, therefore, is being my best and doing my best at all times. So it is something like this. Let's say one of these youngsters playing chess with a buddy and you make a move and you realize you made a bad move and you would like to change that move on the board. And you say to your friend, can I take that move back? And what would your friend say to you? It's your honor. It's your honor. You could take the move back. It's your honor. And right there, you know something, right? You know that if you take the move back, you're going to lose something. You lose respect, right? You lose a sense of worth and value. Add it all up. You lose honor. Honor is something we do. We keep our honor by doing the right thing. We lose honor by doing the wrong thing. On my honor. So it is not enough to just take the oath. Honor is something we do. And in the last place, as we think of honor, it is not just something we do. Honor is something we have to defend. And that's why we have Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. That's why we have these programs to teach our youngsters values. Honor is something we have to defend. So to say on my honor, we are saying we believe that there's something bigger than us that exists. All right? Something greater than me exists. Something that is good and noble and high. Something I could trust and something I would build my life on. It is honor. I believe when I say on my honor that there are certain things that are unchanging, they're reliable. They're big, they're huge. God and country and people. These are special things. And I hold them as dear. And I fight for them. And so, we know there are many different cultures in the world and many different value systems. And I should say that you possibly know that 2 weeks ago or so, there was finally that verdict given down on that case in Canada on honor killing. Something that is coming more and more widespread here in the West as more Muslims move to the West. And what is honor killing? This father and mother and son would kill three daughters because they would choose to date, which is a Western thing. They dishonor the family. Their way of thinking of honor, they should not live for dishonoring us. They're different cultures, and they look at all of these things differently. But all scouts take an oath to honor God, the God of heaven and earth, the God of our Judeo-Christian faith. You take an oath to honor country. You take an oath to honor your fellow man. So we respect other cultures. We respect other religions. And that is our way to show honor to them. But I want to say very strongly to the youngsters here today, you have to know that you have your own beliefs, your own values. And you have to stand up for them and defend them. We do not change our beliefs because other people have different beliefs. We learn from others, but we love what our parents give us. We love our faith and our country and our God and our church and our fellow man. This is a message. Parents, grandparents, you need to get into the hearts and heads of your kids. You have certain values. You were raised with certain things. This family stands for these things. We expect you to honor them. You're baptized. You're confirmed. You're a Christian. We expect you to honor Christian values. Amen? Friends, if we just give it all up to get along, what would we have in the end? We would all be reading some perverted version of the Quran generations from now. So I hope as our youngsters grow, they would not grow away from God, but grow towards God. Grow in love for country and grow in love for God. Do not be ashamed of America. grow as a Christian. And so our country needs our young boys and girls today, desperately so. But not just young boys and girls, they need them as people of integrity, character, strength. We hear much today about homegrown terrorists. And who are the homegrown terrorists? Who do you think they are? What do you think they look like? Well, when you get home, look at the pictures on the wall of the family. The homegrown terrorists look just like the people in those pictures. They are sons reared in our homes, educated in our schools, baptized in our churches, who for some reason have grown to hate America and America's God. There's evil in their heart. They do not honor God or country. Now, our government's way to deal with them is to find them and punish them. But Boy Scouts has a different doctrine, let us say. It says to get these youngsters when they are still young and do as Baden-Powell would do, train them to become men of character, integrity, and courage. Teach them to honor God, country, and others. And so that is what scouting is about. To take young boys, Boy Scouts now, and make them men of courage, character, and integrity. Make them honorable human beings. That's what scouting is all about. I think it was Winston Churchill who once said, and this is a profound statement. He once said, "Tell me what the young men of England are doing on Sunday morning, and I would tell you the future of England." And I wish we will process this for our culture. What are the young men of our country doing on Sunday morning? We know the future of America. The last verse of the text therefore tells us, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good." How? Honor God. Honor country. Honor each other. For these things are enduring. They're eternal. They're the highest. They're the best. They define your life. You do them. You defend. But again, I want to say to the youngsters, say, who have taken the oath, and you say you're a Boy Scout, taking the oath is not enough. You got to live it. You got to do it. You got to be honorable. There's a story, this is true indeed, of a man who grew up in the North End residential area of Tacoma, Washington. He graduated from the University of Washington. He attended Washington Law School, University of Washington Law School. His friends considered him very handsome, smooth with the ladies. He was an outstanding citizen. He did works of charity in his community. He once was an assistant director of the Seattle Crime Prevention Advisory Committee. He even wrote a pamphlet instructing women on rape prevention. That man's name was Ted Bundy, one of the foremost serial killers in the United States in our history. He admitted to 30 murders. Only 23 were confirmed by the police department. He was convicted and sentenced to death row, executed in 1989. As a boy, Ted Bundy was a scout. He took the oath. He never lived it. Honor isn't just saying, "On my honor." We got to do it. So doing it is hard. Bundy found it so, And many others do. The stories are abundant, and you know some yourself. So what does it mean? It means, youngsters, for you to honor your oath, you have to honor God. You need to turn to God and let God help you keep the oath. God would help you to be true to yourself, your fellow man, and your country. So it means you pray when things are hard. When you're tempted, you look to God for help. When you want to go the wrong way, you remember the good way that your parents and the church taught you. You honor God. And so do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. On my honor, let's define it. It is that thing that God has given us. We live out of it. It defines us. We do it. We defend it. For ourselves, our fellow man, for country, for God. Amen. Amen. Number 697.